Hello and welcome to the Weekly Wrap-Up. We're bringing you all the week's top stories. I'm your co-host, Jacqueline Tucci.
And I'm Kelsey Rembrandt. In today's news, John Tory stops by Ryerson.
The future may be closer than we think, thanks to a group of engineering students.
The Ryerson Theater School is looking for a new home.
And we'll talk to our Ryersonian reporters who are on location at the men's and women's CIS basketball finals. The mayor dropped by Ryerson last week. John Tory gave a keynote speech to a conference of students and business professionals about the importance of private sector investment in public sector projects. The conference, called Working Together in the Public Interest, Private-Public Partnerships, and City Building, happened at the Ted Rogers School of Management and hosted panels of experts speaking on the pros and cons of private-public sector partnerships in Toronto's development projects. In his speech, Tory cited examples of projects where these partnerships have worked, like the plan to revitalize the space beneath the Gardner Expressway. The project was kickstarted by a Toronto family, which donated $25 million of its own money to its development. Tory said that partnering with private sector isn't selling out, it's teaming up.
Remember the cool tube travel systems in every movie about the future? That future may not be too far off thanks to a group of Ryerson engineering students. The Hyperloop is a system that may one day connect San Francisco and LA with tubes that will carry passengers in pods at high speeds. Graham Klim, a master's student in aerospace engineering, is part of the team developing a wheel subsystem to be attached to the bottom of the pod, which would be propelled through the tubes by using magnetic accelerators. The team has already created a prototype, which won the SpaceX competition in January. SpaceX is an aerospace firm owned by the co-founder of Tesla Motors, Elon Musk, who came up with the idea for the transportation system. SpaceX sent the team members an email after their win suggesting they collaborate with the pod team to test their designs. The team is looking to work with a pod team from Texas, but said that if that doesn't work out, they're looking at a team from Hamilton. The next stage of competition is in August in California at SpaceX headquarters, where teams will test their designs.
A team of three students is helping to put Ryerson's MBA program on the map. The students just won the top prize in People's Choice Award at an online international case study competition. Jesse Berger, Kristen Connolly, and Saad Rahman had to create a video explaining whether they would choose to invest in Walmart or Amazon for the next 10 years, and explain why to a panel of judges. Voting began in November and just wrapped up last week when they were announced the winners. They shot their winning video in the SLC, sometimes into the early hours of the morning, trying to stand out to the judges, and clearly it worked.
Ryerson launched a new Center for Middle East and North Africa Studies on March 17th, also known as MENA. The main focus is to support collaboration among Ryerson researchers and encourage discussion on the region. The center will be housed in the Faculty of Arts and is open to researchers from all facilities at Ryerson, but does not yet have a location. The idea came about over a cup of coffee when Nima Nagibi, co-director of MENA Studies Center and chair and associate professor of the English department, and some of her colleagues found they had a shared interest in research in the region. Nagibi hopes the next step will be to create a MENA minor, which would be available to all students. She says her ultimate goal is to create an interdisciplinary graduate program in MENA studies.
Ryerson students are winning big all over the place this week, Kelsey. Environmental sciences student Julie Robertson just won second place in the annual 3-minute thesis competition. Her thesis, which was on the discrepancies between reported government data and traditional Inuit knowledge regarding the number of caribou in the Arctic, had to be delivered in just 3 minutes, of course, using just one PowerPoint slide and no speaking notes. I don't know about you, but that sounds daunting.
Theater students will not be returning to the familiar halls of their building on Girard Street this fall. Their current building is starting to fall apart and is not safe anymore. Ryerson is working with the City of Toronto to find a new permanent place for the school, but until then, students will be scattered across campus. The Student Learning Center will be opening up dance studios, a new mezzanine level, and other accommodations by fall 2016. The majority of the acting program will move to Kerr Hall, and the faculty offices and administration will be in the atrium on Bay Street.
We're joined now on the phone by Ryersonian reporter Nick Rapponi, who's in Vancouver covering the CIS Men's Final Four basketball tournament. They beat UBC last night in the quarterfinals, is that right?
Yes.
All right, can you give us a little brief recap of what happened last night?
Yeah, so the Rams are the first-seeded team, and UBC is the eighth seed. So they were really supposed to win, like, by a good margin. But that UBC crowd was, to be quite honest, the loudest crowd I've ever seen at a Canadian sport event. They were just so loud, and they made things really tough for Ryerson. Ryerson actually was losing the entire game and tied the game up with about 25 seconds left, and then they went into overtime and just kind of took control in overtime and ended up winning the game 109-101. But that crowd was crazy. They made it very tough on the team.
What do you think that's going to mean for the Rams going into tomorrow's semifinals?
I think it's actually great that they had to play the host first. It was such a loud atmosphere because it kind of gets you, it's a tough test. It's like you have to deal with all that noise. So going forward, there's not going to be a tougher atmosphere than what they dealt with. So I think it's a blessing in disguise, actually. So I think it's actually good for them going forward. I think Calgary, and it should be a tough game, but I think it's good for them.
Oh, what is the atmosphere like over there, Nick?
Oh, it's crazy. Vancouver's beautiful, but at the UBC campus, it's just everyone is wearing UBC stuff. Everybody is just really, to be quite honest, fired up about the tournament being here. I spoke to one person, and they said it's great to have basketball back in their backyard. They're happy about hosting. They're making it clear. They are very, very excited, each and every fan.
What about Rams fans? Did anyone show up for the team?
Yeah, actually, RSU sent a few people. So Andrea Bartlett is here, and they brought the Rams pack. And they're, the Rams pack's they're just a bunch of fans that go to every single Rams game, and they paint their chest, and they just scream at the top of their lungs and try and support the home team. And, yeah, they flew out to BC as well, and they're here. The grandparents of one of the Ram pack are actually here, too, and they're cheering as loud as they can as well. So I'd say in total there's about 15 to 20 Rams fans here.
And what can we expect going forward with the rest of the tournament?
Well, they play Calgary on Saturday at 8:30 Eastern, and that is going to be a tough game because Calgary has debatably one of the best players in the country. His name is Thomas Cooper. So they're going to have to shut him down. If they can shut him down, I think they'll have an easy time winning, to be completely honest with you. But it's shutting him down, which will be tough. And then after that, it's going to be the finals. So we'll see what happens then. I think Carlton's still the favorite in most people's eyes because they've won 5 straight years. But I think Ryerson has a good chance.
Nick, thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
And we're joined now by Becca Goss, who's in Fredericton covering the women's basketball CIS Final Four tournament. Have the girls played yet? I know the guys did last night.
Yeah, the girls played last night as well. They played the University of Regina Cougars, and they beat them 73-70 to advance to the semifinals on Saturday.
So who are they playing Saturday? What are you expecting? What's the prediction?
Well, they're going to be playing McGill, who's the top seed, which means they're number one coming into the CIS tournament. So it's going to be a tough game for Ryerson, but they're practicing right now. I'm going to be talking to them in a few minutes, and hopefully they can pull it out for an underdog win.
And what's the atmosphere like there, Becca?
It's pretty crazy, especially when big teams like UND are playing. It's definitely pretty cool in here. There's lots of fans here screaming loud. The Ryerson fans were really representing last night. We have probably a dozen Ryerson fans out here right now, and it's pretty exciting to watch.
So what is the prediction? It's going to be a hard game for Ryerson. Do they have a chance of pulling through?
I think so. I talked to the Windsor coach a couple days ago, and they won the OUA last year, and she said she was rooting for Ryerson and that Ryerson had a chance to take it all. So it'll just come down to the game tomorrow to see how they play.
Becca, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's all for your weekly wrap-up. I'm Jacqueline Tucci.
And I'm Kelsey Rambrand. For more on these stories and more news, visit us online at ryersonian.ca and on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at the Ryersonian.
Thanks for listening.